Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, and welcome to Full Chat, the weekly F1 news and discussion show that's going to totally ignore the other podcasts in F1 that are doing better than us, as my daddy is only happy when we win. I'm not Bradley Philpott, and unfortunately, due to a personal situation, he won't be here tonight. So you just have me to quickly cover off a few bits from this week's race so that you can at least get a taster of Full Chat. Or maybe now it's half chat. But we digress. Tonight, we discuss, wow, my son didn't win, the two other most interesting rivalries in Formula One, and that Alonso penalty. So I'm just going to cover these things off briefly. Obviously, haven't got Brad here today. We're not doing the live stream, so you haven't missed any particular chat or anything like that. I'm just going to cover this off very quickly, just so you can get my opinion on what's going to happen or on what happened in F1 this week. And you can comment, you can send us your opinions to fullchatf1@gmail.com. There you go. There's something else for me to check once the show goes on air. So, Jos Verstappen. We're not fans of Jos Verstappen here on Full Chat. I don't think many people are. He doesn't seem like a very nice man. Lots of other stuff he has done or allegedly done in the past, which we are not going to touch. But it was very, very clear that he was not a happy bunny that Max Verstappen didn't win the race on Sunday. Sergio Perez, who did an absolutely phenomenal job. You know, he lost the lead off the line. He's never been a great starter. Alonso's always been a mega starter. So I wasn't surprised when I saw that Aston Martin get to turn one first. But I then also wasn't surprised that Perez got his head down and on lap four, he took that lead back from Fernando Alonso, which was kind of inevitable because, as we've discussed, that Red Bull is a rocket ship. But the most interesting part for Perez was after the race, when he goes to celebrate with his whole team, goes past the melee of Red Bull mechanics and team members, and everyone's patting him on the back and giving him big celebrations. But Jos is stood there very stoically. I think he reached out very briefly and maybe shook his hand. But you could tell from the look on his face that he was not happy that his son, who had done an amazing job coming back from 15th place to second with the help of a safety car, but I think he would have done it anyway, couldn't show any love and affection for his teammate Sergio Perez, who had driven a brilliant race. When there is footage in the past of Daniel Ricciardo's father celebrating with Max, Sergio Perez's dad, when Max won in Mexico, gave Max a lot of love. And after the end of Abu Dhabi 2021, the Hamiltons went up to Jos and shook their hands and were good sports. It just doesn't seem like to me that that man is a good sport in any way and is only happy when his son is winning. And listen, I get it. You're in a sport, you're at the top of it, and you only want to win. But be gracious at the fact that, okay, you had a car issue. You started 15th, you still finished second. You're still leading the championship because you went and got the fastest lap. The likelihood is, over the course of a season, you're going to beat Sergio Perez. It's a big problem if you don't beat Sergio Perez. So get over it, son, and just move on. Which is what we're going to do to the next topic, which is the two other interesting team rivalries that we had during this Grand Prix. We'll start with the smaller ticket item, which is that over one of my favourite teams, McLaren, between Oscar Piastri and Lando Norris. Now, they both had horrific races. They both had to have new front wings fitted. We're not going to go into who was at fault for losing front wings and whatever. It happened. There was damage to both those cars. They were both at the back. But Oscar Piastri was all over Lando Norris the whole race. I think no matter where they were on the track, Oscar seemed to be all over or ahead of Lando Norris. And then at the end, while they're fighting with Logan Sargeant, it was Oscar Piastri that got ahead of his teammate and of ahead of the Williams driver, which was absolutely phenomenal to see. Obviously, Oscar has had a very infamous entry into Formula One for this season, and to see him come out and do really well is exciting. Obviously, fully eclipsing anything Daniel Ricciardo was able to do. And as a very big Daniel Ricciardo fan, it pains me to say that what was wrong with Daniel Ricciardo that he couldn't drive that car where Oscar Piastri has been able to jump in and do fantastically. Lando didn't look too pleased after the race, but it's easy to shrug that off as broke my front wing and then probably didn't have an optimal tyre choice. But it's probably the fact that he got beaten by his rookie teammate, which probably doesn't sit too well with him, despite the fact that it isn't for any points. So it's going to be a very interesting watch for the rest of the season to see how those two get on for the rest of the season and how their battle ensues. Because we all rate Lando Norris as one of the very best in the sport. Now, if his rookie teammate can get on par with him, that puts a very exciting future for Formula One. Then we have the second team that I want to talk about. This is a bit more high profile, a lot more close to home and close to my heart, which is between Lewis Hamilton and George Russell at Mercedes. Now, in the first Grand Prix, Lewis Hamilton very, very much had the measure of George Russell. George Russell, as he always has been, was incredibly magnanimous and wasn't too fussed about it, I don't think. He got behind Lewis at Bahrain and very much was a case of, oh, I can go faster, and then all of a sudden Lewis pulled away. It was almost the exact reversal here, where Lewis was on the back foot all weekend, didn't look comfortable, wasn't happy with the car, said the car doesn't suit him, it gives him no confidence. And at a high-speed circuit like we have at Jeddah, you have to have confidence. You can't fly through corners at nearly 200 miles an hour and have no confidence in the car, because if that happens and you make a mistake, you're in the wall and there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. So where this gets interesting is after the safety car, everybody went onto the hards except for Lewis Hamilton, who went onto the medium tyres, and Lewis instantly drove up to the back of George Russell. The team were asking him if he was going to be happy to move out of the way. George then said, oh, there's no point because I'm saving my tyres because Alonso still got his penalty to serve. Then the team told him, oh, Alonso's already served his penalty. And he shouted, fuck, really? That's information you should have given me already. And he's absolutely right in that case. And then proceeded to drop Lewis Hamilton. Now, was it a case of George was the faster driver this weekend? Yes, I do think George was the faster driver this weekend. Lewis was visibly not happy all weekend. But I feel he had the tyre advantage. I feel Lewis knew he had to manage that medium till the end of the race. He would not have wanted to put the medium on when he eventually did, especially because when that safety car came out, his hard tyres were starting to come on song and he was starting to pick up the pace. So, and then after the race, again, you had a very visibly annoyed Lewis Hamilton. At this point, the podium had been given to George Russell. And he said something along the lines of, well, good for George, but it doesn't do anything for me. That comment worries me, especially as a Hamilton fan, and I always like to see Lewis do well, but that comment worries me because that's the kind of stuff he used to say about Nico Rosberg, and I worry that it could turn sour with George, and I really don't want it to because I really like Lewis, I really like George. And I think they are the best team, as in the best driver pairing, on the grid as total stats. And I think those two drivers can get the most out of that package as a team than any other team on the grid. Whether you think Alonso's better or Max is better than either of those drivers individually as a pairing, I don't think they're matched. But we will see how this one plays out. As I mentioned Alonso, let's talk about penalties and how ridiculous the situation the FIA, the stewards, Formula One made of the debacle of Fernando Alonso. So first of all, let's talk about why he got the penalty. So Fernando Alonso got the penalty for being out of position in his grip box. Now, he wasn't too far forward, so he wasn't gaining an advantage. He was just a little bit too far over to the left, closer to the pit wall. And I don't think this would have gained him any form of advantage. If anything, he's even further away from the racing line. So even less grip out there. But rules is rules. And if you have to start in that box, you have to start in that box. And the penalty for that is a fair 5-second penalty. And he took the penalty very, very well. He was leading at the time and was told he had a 5-second penalty. And he said, copy, and never heard anything from him again. I'm pretty certain if he was somewhere in the middle of the pack, you probably would have got a bit of moaning and a bit of complaining from him. So when he came in to do his pit stop under the safety car, which bugs me because you shouldn't be able to serve a penalty while the race is neutralized, in my opinion. You should have to serve your penalty during live racing to have the full effects of the penalty. I would love to talk about what penalties we should actually have in Formula One, because I feel like we should go back to drive-throughs and give people proper penalties. But penalties are what the penalties are, and that penalty was the correct penalty for the infringement. However, the rules state you cannot work on the car until the 5 seconds is up. As Fernando Alonso pulls into the box, you see his rear jackman pull up behind the car. Doesn't touch the car, maybe, but they count to five and then they start working on the car and off Alonso goes. 35 laps later, a cool down lap, a interview, a celebration on the podium, they then take it away from him, saying that there was work going on to the car before the penalty. So the penalty was served incorrectly. The team had an inkling that this was going on in the last two or three laps before the end of the race, because Merck told George to get the hammer down and Aston told Alonso to also get the hammer down. And they were both pushing like crazy to try and get the gap. Alonso managed to get the gap to 5.1 seconds because they thought they'd be getting a 5-second penalty. Unfortunately, because it is a second infringement, because it is an infringement for failing to correctly take a penalty, you actually get a 10-second penalty. So it was a slam dunk that George actually claims the podium. They gave him the trophy. George took photos with the trophy, posted on social media that he got third place. The kicker was, because it was a 10-second penalty, and Lewis does this thing when he knows that he's got no challenge from behind and that he's not going to catch the car in front. He literally shuts down and basically runs at an absolute minimum speed. But it cost him, and he was 10.2 seconds behind. So he could have actually got ahead of Alonso if he just still had his brain engaged, but he didn't for whatever reason. Then, a couple of hours later, after lots of deliberation and Mike Crack coming out and saying, well, we didn't actually touch the car. We didn't work on the car. And the rule says you're not allowed to work on the car. It doesn't say you can't touch the car. They also talked about other situations where they should really have a official FIA person or steward or whatever standing by the car saying, right, no one stand, you know, here's a box around the car. You can't come inside this box for 5 seconds. And there's a timer on the gantry that's controlled by Formula One. That's what it should be. To let the teams manage their own penalties is a bit amateurish, if I'm being honest, and there should be a thing in process for this. But hey, everything got righted in the end, and despite my disdain for Fernando Alonso, including my tweet during the week about Fernando Alonso, and I don't really understand why people like the man, because the guy has been nefarious for his entire career. Let's not forget that in November, a mere 4 or 5 months ago, he was burning the door down at Alpine before he left. So, you know, the guy hasn't changed. He's just walked into a team that is behind him, has a really good car, and a teammate that isn't good enough to compete with him. So, of course, he's going to be happy and smiley and not have too many cares, because he can just drive around and pick up podiums, of which this podium was his 100th, which is a fantastic achievement for the million years that he's been in Formula One and the different teams and stuff that he's been with in Formula One. So, yeah, that's my brief. I mean, I was only going to do 5 minutes and it's already gone past 16 minutes. So I think I'm going to love you and leave you for this episode. There isn't going to be a history with Alex and Brad. First of all, Brad's not here. Brad not being able to be here was a bit short notice, and we hadn't really put together a segment for it yet, and everything else was a bit long and I was looking for a short one. So what's going to happen over the next couple of weeks? Brad is away in Texas next week, so we're not going to be able to do a show next week. I will come back and I will do something like this at some point during the week, and I will talk about any news that has come up in F1. And then the week after is my birthday, so I will also again try and put something out, or Brad will, to put something out, just so there is something, so you've got some news and updates, and that will be after whatever the next Grand Prix is. Is it Australia next? Whatever. So yeah. So until then, follow me at Alex Van Gene on Twitter, on Instagram, TikTok. Follow the show on, again, all those things, at Full Chat F1. Follow Bradley Philpott at Bradley Philpott, again, on everything. And if you have any questions or anything else you'd like us to discuss, send us an email to fullchatf1@gmail.com. And until then, keep it full chat.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing.
Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.